If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Yes, that's right.
720 WGN. I think we're going to have to find a new opening for this segment. It's a little irritating. I thought, well, the Simpsons, how bad could it get? It could get a little bad. A little bad? I don't even think that's an expression. John Landecker at 720 WGN. Corey Remore from the Chicago Tribune is with us. Good evening, Corey. How are you?
I'm great, John. Hey, in our family, we love the Simpsons, so
okay.
I'll take it.
All right. So, great articles. The one that intrigues me the most, just off the top of my head, is Illinois 250. Art, cultural food, and music made here and then shared with the world. So as I read it, Illinois 250 is an ongoing Tribune series.
Yeah. It's something that I'm putting together each week. We've done, I think we're doing it for 2 months. We're trying to come up with 250 different things that started in Chicago or in the greater state of Illinois and kind of influence the rest of the nation. So lots of firsts have happened here, or, you know, poignant things have happened here that other states have had to deal with as well. So I'm trying to break them down by different categories over those 8 weeks.
Well, that's a great project, and I'd like to bring up some of the ones that caught my attention, if you don't mind.
Please.
Okay, Moldorama.
It's such a Chicago thing, and I at first didn't realize, yeah, they have it in other places, too.
What is it? What's Moldorama?
Okay, so if you grew up in the Chicago area and you went to one of our fine museums or a zoo, chances are you came across this burning smell of plastic and wondered, where is that coming from? And you saw this big blue machine with a clear cover. And basically what it is you make your own souvenir. And I think growing up, it was like a dollar. And I think now it's like $5. But these things are super collectible. And again, my family is, you know, we have a bunch of them in a variety of colors. And wherever we go, we check, if we go out of town, we check to see what the Moldorama is, a selection is there. And so it's fun. You put in your money. And the whole thing is made in front of you, and you try not to burn your hand when you take it out of the machine. But, it started here. It came together. A guy from Quincy invented it, and I didn't realize it, but they had these machines. I think it was at the New York World's Fair. They had them. And I think at other World's Fairs and in other places, they've had them. So super collectible item.
You know, I just have not lived a full life. I've never been to Moldorama or had it mold anything for me, and I think that's on my bucket list. So another one of the things that you write about is something that I've been interested in for a while. I wasn't aware of it to the extent that improv comedy started here in Chicago with Viola Spolin's Theater Games. But the idea that improv comedy started in Chicago, and if you take a look at what improv is now on all sorts of different levels of entertainment around the country, around the world, I mean, that is incredible, in my opinion. Tell us a little bit about Viola Spolin's improv comedy.
The whole idea was there were these games where you could interact with other people. And I think the idea is you never say no. You, whatever the other person says, you feed into it and you keep it going. And you and so in that way, it's interactive and it's completely done on the spot. It's not anything that's planned out ahead of time. And I know if you go to an improv show, sometimes they ask people to call out ideas and then they'll make up a sketch out of that. But You're right. There have been so many people who have come out of this scene, either here in Chicago through Second City or IO Theater or Annoyance Theater. And if not here, then one of the branches they have in other cities. I was watching the Martin Short documentary.
So did I. I thought it was great.
It was really, really good. And he talked about working with Second City in Toronto. And I didn't realize Catherine O'Hara came out of there. All these names and faces you've seen before. But the whole idea is you work together to come up with a story just completely on the spot. And it's something that was probably done in other places around the country, but Chicago just really honed it.
Well, not only that. Well, I'm going to take a break in just a second here, but in the final days of Stephen Colbert, I can't remember who this particular guest was, but both of them, Colbert and his guest, knew each other when they were much younger at Second City in Chicago. And I went, there you go. It's everywhere. More with Corey when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker with Corey Moore from the Chicago Tribune, Illinois 250, art, culture, food, music, the stuff made here and then shared with the world. So, you see, we're having a 250th birthday party for our country, that is. Now, wait a minute. What happened to what I was just looking at? I mean, where did it go? Tinker Toys. Okay, Tinker Toys.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Tinker Toys are from Chicago.
Neither did I until my colleague Chris Borelli wrote about it. Yeah. And there was a company here in Evanston where I live that manufactured Tinker Toys. And so, the thing I love about putting this together is there's so much I realized that I didn't know. And I know some people might not feel like celebrating this year, like, what's going on in our country. But I wanted to find a way to say, hey, you know what? Illinois is kind of a big deal. And, outside of Illinois, people who live outside of Illinois hear about all the supposed bad stuff that happens here. But there is also a lot of good stuff. And so I really wanted to highlight that.
Well, I think you have, I came to Chicago in about 1972. I met Bob Surratt about 1974, and I don't remember the exact time he mentioned Green River to me because I had never heard of it. And he's like, "Oh, Green River, you got to have it." And I did, and it was great. But that's one of those things that if you weren't here, you didn't know about it.
Right. Right. I know. And there are so many people who move to Illinois, move to the Chicago area and just don't know these things or, previous generations may have known these things. So it's been a lot of fun to try to compile this. And in the weeks ahead, I'm going to look at inventions, things that were invented here. We're going to take a look at crime. Like I said, I mostly wanted to highlight all the good stuff, but there's a lot of other stuff too. And I want to make sure kind of squeeze it all together.
Well, I'm going to do a pivot here to another one of your articles. This day in history, a sports flashback, June 3rd, 2003, with Chicago Cubs right fielder Sammy Sosa ejected in the first inning of a game against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Now, why, Corey, please tell us, why would he be ejected?
Well, his bat just happened to shatter, and somebody noticed that there was cork inside of it, and that's a big no-no in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, so there's like bits of cork on the diamond. And, that was a sad occurrence because Sosa was so popular and that was the first dent in his popularity. And then of course the, steroid,
right.
That just like tanked everything. I mean,
and the interesting thing to me is how long it's taken for him, because it caused Sosa and the Cubs to have a falling out. Like they really didn't have a relationship for a long time,
right?
Because I think the team wanted him to admit his drug use. And if you remember right, during the 98 season, it was Sammy Sosa and it was Mark McGwire, and they were battling for who could get the most home runs. And eventually Mark McGwire came clean and said that he had used performance enhancing drugs. But it took Sammy Sosa a really, really, really long time to have that come to Jesus moment. And I think it was just at either this January's Cubs convention or the previous January's Cubs convention where Sosa showed up and he's been back on good terms with the team. I don't know if he said too much about what he did, but he apparently has said that there was something going on.
Yeah. I think it's still a sensitive topic even after all these years. People don't forget that kind of thing. Especially right. when he had that sort of home run derby going on with Mark McGwire, you know, who hit the latest one and who's going to break the record and all of that. And then all of that falls apart because of the alleged steroid use. I mean, so
it's too bad because they kind of had this friendly rivalry
right.
during that season too. Anytime the teams played each other, it almost seemed like they were cheering each other on. So yeah, to find out after the fact what was really going on is just sad.
I have this memory, and I don't know if it's actually real. The Cubs are playing St. Louis in St. Louis, and McGwire hits a home run that I think breaks a record, and Sosa trots in from first base or wherever he was to shake his hand in sportsmanship. Right. So something like that. All right. So we were talking to a guy last hour who put together a documentary about the Green River, not the Green River, the Green Mill up on the north side. And we got to the subject of Malort. And I see it here rearing its tasteless head again. I didn't realize that Malort was conceived in Chicago. Really?
Yeah. Well, it was because it was brought a Swedish immigrant was making it and decided to bottle it. And it was made here for a really long time. Then it left and then it came back. Have you had Malort before, John?
I have not. And I am not, I don't believe I'm ever going to. And I've never heard anything good about it, except for the first time tonight, I heard that you can drink a lot of it and not get drunk. Which is, wow, okay, what a great plus. Put that on the side of the bottle or whatever it is. You can drink a lot, not get drunk. Hey, bartender, give me some more Malort. I see here you use the term medicinal drink.
Yeah. I think it was supposed to, you know, I don't know if it was supposed to settle your stomach or maybe do the opposite. I think it's herbal because I forget what they use in it, but wormwood. It's wormwood. And so it kind of has like that herbal feel. But I tell you what, we took a couple of the airline size bottles of Malort a few years ago to my husband's family in California, and we all tried it one night. And we made every single, you know, brother, every single sibling, their spouses, so angry with us. Like, why would you give this to us? Why would you think we would actually like this? And it's like, hey, it's a Chicago thing. We wanted to share with you this Chicago thing. But I couldn't believe how angry they were with us.
You know, speaking of Chicago things, the Chicago style hot dog has gained its own national notoriety. And somebody was just asking me about that earlier. You've got the steamed pop. How did that come about? I mean, a lot of us know what it is. You got the steamed poppy seed bun. You got the Vienna beef hot dog, yellow mustard, neon green relish, onions, tomato wedge, kosher dill pickle,
How do you remember all of this?
I'm reading it.
Oh, that okay. That explains it. Never mind.
Finish with a dash of celery salt. I gotta say, I think the Chicago style hot dog is one of the great inventions of all time. I love it. I don't know who came up with it. Do you know? Came up with it?
No, and this is something I actually told our editors as I was doing the research through the Tribune Archives for this. I said, you know, we've never written a story about the history, like how it came to be. Like, we need to do something about this. We've written about other Chicago-style foods and how they came to be. But this is one I'm not sure about. Okay, but John, is it a sandwich? Would you call a Chicago-style hot dog a sandwich?
Here we go again. Is it a sandwich? No.
No.
And I don't know why I said that, but is a hamburger a sandwich?
That's a good question, too. Is an Italian beef a sandwich? I guess and so.
This could go on for quite a while. So if it's not served on between two rectangular pieces of bread.
Maybe a slightly different interpretation. With a Chicago style hot dog, there's so much stuff on it.
Right.
It's not that it's a sandwich. It's stuff between two pieces of bread.
But it's the combination that.
That combination, there's so much to it, it doesn't exactly fit between the two pieces of bread that the dog is sitting in the middle of. Just a thought. Crazy.
We'll leave you with that particular mental image. So, Corey, if people want to, all the stuff that you're doing. Vintage this week.
They keep me busy, John. They keep me busy.
Yeah. No
yes,
kidding.
Corey, and you sound like someone who needs to be kept busy.
So how do we read all this stuff? How do we get it?
You can go to chicagotribune.com, and if you want to sign up for the Vintage Chicago Tribune newsletter, it's totally free. You can go to chicagotribune.com/newsletters. And again, I'm the one that's called Vintage Chicago Tribune. It comes out every Thursday. But I also do Today in Chicago History. So that's on our website as well. And I work on other stuff like the Illinois 250. So you can find me on chicagotribune.com.
And I can find you hopefully again on the air next week.
I hope so too. Thank you so much, John. I love this. I love being able to chat with you every week.
Oh, right back at you.